And welcome everybody on YouTube as we begin Off the Hook Overtime, an extension of the program that hopefully you just heard on WBAI. Kyle, did you make it into overtime okay?
I made it.
Okay, Alex? Alex, are you there? Okay, good. And our three guests are all here as well. Elijah, Scott, and Becky, welcome to overtime.
Hi.
You know, it's really something that you guys are doing this, and I sure hope that it gets a lot of attention. Have you gotten much much media coverage?
We have gotten some good media coverage. We have a lot of people that are interested in, you know, the fair and want to come see all the cool stuff and, like, show it live on camera, which is always hard because it's like, well, we would love to have that coverage now so we can make sure people get the word out. You
right,
know.
Right. It doesn't help you much afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. During the event, it'll be great. We're still going to take it. It's still going to be great. People will see it, you know, maybe come the next day or come that afternoon or whatever, but it's definitely better to have coverage now. We have definitely had some good coverage. There are a couple of articles and different people talking about it. We got on News 12 Brooklyn, which was great. You know, so there's been some good coverage recently, and I think it's kind of jumping, you know, this week, obviously.
Uh-huh. Now, is there a Maker Faire network again, the way it used to be? Because there's Maker Faires all over the place, mini Maker Faires mostly, but I understand there are a couple more. West Coast is coming back, I believe?
Yeah, Make is reopening the big West Coast Fair, and they've actually stopped calling them by mini Maker Faires and, like, whatever the other names were. They're now just Maker Faires.
Okay.
Licensed fairs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it was the Long Island Maker Faire, I think, is where I learned about the Coney Island Maker Faire, which is great.
Yeah, there's still, like, a small network of, like, you know, I'm sure the people who host Maker Faires that are fairly close to each other know each other. Like, I've spoken with the people who host the Long Island Maker Faire, along with other, like, nearby ones.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that leads into another question I had. If there are people listening who would love to come to this but just can't because they're far away or aren't able to travel, but they want to start something like this where they are, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I think you can. First of all, you can definitely do it. You know, I think depending on what you're looking to do, you know, be realistic. Look at your local area, find out if there's an educational or museum facility that would love to partner with you and you can use as a venue, you know, make contact with the area that you know and love, and that way you can really make the most of it. You know, reach out to, if you're looking to do a Maker Faire specifically, reach out to Make, and they do have a link online, you know, how to start a Maker Faire in your area. And that's basically the process, you know, document. But advice-wise, I would say make sure you start with your local area. You know, look to partner with a good organization or a good venue, something like that, possibly an educational facility or a museum facility, something where they have the space, you know, to host makers. They may have tables already they can lend you. They may have some stuff that you can use, electrical hookups and things like that. So that always makes it easier. And you know, one of the advantages to Coney Island that we love is obviously you have food around. You have mm-hmm. places where you can, you know, relax. You can sit down and eat the food that you got. You have, you know, a lot of availability for things. There's good transportation. So just try and imagine yourself when you are there as an attendant and how you would get there, how you would get home, what you would do if there's rain and that sort of thing. And really just picture it and sort of plan ahead if you can, you know, at least use your imagination.
Yeah, I don't think rain would be an issue. I'd be more concerned with wind from the ocean, but I think, you know, you're protected enough with the venues that you've secured where even that won't be an issue at all. It's just basically a question of how well Maker Faire meshes with the community around it. And I see the Coney Island community as being very open to all kinds of weirdness, and you know, I've seen all sorts of mermaid parades and festivals and things like that. It's one of the beacons of New York City. But I'm curious. It's perfect, I think, for something like Maker Faire. was it the first place that you guys looked at? Was it something that you knew from the beginning this was what you wanted, or were others considered? Did you try the Hall of Science again, or anything like that?
When I saw the open spots near Coney Island, I knew that Coney Island was the location we would want to host Maker Faire. It was our first choice, and it's still, you know, it's where we're hosting it now. But both me and Scott also have a pretty deep history with Coney Island. I've been going to see their fireworks shows every Friday of the summer since, I think, ever since I can remember. I know that much.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
You were speaking about how Coney Island is just culturally the right place to hold a Maker Faire. And not only is it just, like, full of unique culture, it's also full of maker culture. There's some deep history with car stuff, but I think one of the more grim but my favorite examples is when baby incubators were being first developed. They weren't a extremely serious medical tool at first, so you could pay at Coney Island to see a freak show of still developing,
Wow, that is a dark bit of history there, but it's definitely history nonetheless. And I do remember the advertisements for the freak shows there, which was hard to believe, but true. Scott, did you have something else?
Yeah, no, it's actually funny because that's one of the stories that's pretty interesting. It was a man named Dr. Cowney, I think is how you pronounce his name, but he was actually trying to get the medical establishment to accept prenatal care and basically to take care of premature babies with technology, and they wouldn't really accept it. They thought it was very strange, you know. So what he did was he actually showed off his infant incubators in different places and ended up in Coney Island. And his technology actually not only was shown in Coney Island and became accepted in the medical community, but saved thousands of babies' lives that otherwise the babies might have passed away. So it's actually kind of an interesting part of the history of Coney Island when it comes to invention and innovation. And that's one of the things I think that is interesting to me about it. It's a place where if you look deep enough into it, it's not necessarily just things like roller coasters. You know, it was the first roller coaster, Thompson's Switchback Railway, and it was also the first enclosed amusement park with Sea Lion Park. But it has a rich history with a lot of people trying to invent things. You know, in the early days of rides and Coney Island and amusements, there wasn't a lot of safety regulation, and there probably should have been. But at the time, because of that, there were a lot of people trying to one-up each other. So people trying to come up with a scarier roller coaster or, you know, a ride that was more exciting or a ride where you could, you know, do something you've never done before. And it was also one of the places where men and women could be seen in public together and hold hands or go on a ride together and maybe they brush up against each other or something. So it was a place where it also became sort of accepted to let yourself loose a little bit. You know, this was the time of going to the beach in a wool bathing suit or a full suit. So it wasn't exactly a comfortable, you know, fun atmosphere like it is today, but people were looking for Coney Island to sort of merge technology and fun and let themselves, you know, be free a little bit. And so it's one of those places, I think, that has a big magic about it. Not a lot of people really go down there sometimes, so it's also a good way to get people into Brooklyn, to get people to really see and experience something awesome, but they might not have otherwise seen.
It's that link to history, and if you have grandparents in the area, they have stories about Coney Island, so there's no question about that. One question, is the amusement park going to be open during all this?
Yes, all of the amusements are open. They most of them now have the city sort of as their landlord, and they are open pretty much through the end of October, at least. So they'll all be open. They're excited. We told them we want to send people their way, and, you know, if they can, send people our way. And it'll be great. It's always great when we have an event or we're hanging out there, and you can hear the roller coasters going in the background and, you know, the not terrified but sort of terrified screams as they go by, you know, enjoying themselves.
And I remember the screams from the Ferris wheel. I think it's called the Wonder Wheel. You know, when I got on that thing, I didn't realize that the car has moved. I thought it was stationary like a normal Ferris wheel, but no, they go hurtling down like a roller coaster. And Yeah, so you'll hear some screams from there as well. Becky, I wanted to ask you, because you're somebody who builds things, and I was wondering if you have any kind of feelings towards the right to repair movement, and I guess something that, you know, many people in the maker movement also would feel an allegiance to, but basically the right to repair your own stuff and not simply throw everything away or have it leased to some company and have them do all the work.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad you're bringing this up because I feel very strongly that you can't really understand anything unless you A, made it yourself, or B, you can take it apart and put it back together with your eyes closed. I think that, like, a lot of the ways the world operates in terms of, like, making things really quickly and not making things be serviced is just, like, I mean, this might be a hot take, but I think it's making us dumber as a society.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Like nobody knows how to fix anything. Nobody knows how to, deal with their cars anymore. Like all these things I think are really important. Because I kind of have like this feeling of the only person I trust to fix anything is myself. And I think the maker movement is very much aligned with just like preserving your agency as much as possible through the pursuit of knowledge. And I think that that's wonderful.
Absolutely. That sense of technological self-reliance and then sharing and repeating the process and trying to get other people aware of how important it is. But just automobiles, I think of this old book that one of my grandparents had that described all of the different types of physics and science involved in just that type of machine. And there's so many other things. I was talking during our break about a friend we have that's a builder that was really excited about some of the things people were presenting at a maker fair about construction techniques and artisan, like woodworking. And there's been a lot of cool automating with like CNC mills and just crazy amalgamations, I think, of sort of old tech and new tech and people breathing sort of new excitement into that that achieving of skills, even if it's for just like knitting a scarf or something seemingly mundane, but has all these nuances and tools and techniques that are at play. And it really does. I think I agree. And I think a lot of people would hear this as it's great for your mind and problem solving and overall knowledge.
And not just that, I think another thing is specifically I'm coming from the background of like, I care about old-timey ways of making music. You know, a lot of these musical qualities that we really love about like analog circuitry, the only way we're going to be able to preserve them in the long run is if somebody knows how to fix it. You know, like these things, they're, you know, some of these synths that were made in like the 60s and 70s, like we have to be able to fix these things when like wires come loose or jacks get loose over periods of time. Part of the problem with keeping these things alive, though, is just that some people don't make the parts anymore. So it kind of gets into this different hole of, oh my gosh, some things don't work for everyone. We have to be able to solve problems around this and find substitutions, I guess, as things change. It's really quite complicated, I think.
Well, that's what 3D printers are for, to start making those things that are no longer made.
Yeah, you joke, but I'm hearing parallels with automobile restoration. There's, you know, things become hard to find, but things like 3D printing can help. Also 3D scanning and stuff.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, building on one of the other points that Becky made about this notion or this phenomenon of technology making people dumber, right? You know, smartphones in the hands of dumb people, essentially. Imagine how much more of the same, but to a different degree, we're going to be talking about this, let's say 5-10 years from now, with respect to generative artificial intelligence. You know, we no longer need to even organize our own thoughts for ourselves, you know, or deal with our calendars and things like that. Just like very basic human things that we do are going to be potentially taken over. I mean, the idea of memorizing a phone number now, I mean, it sounds crazy, right? And it's become very difficult for people to memorize numbers because we just don't have to do it anymore because our phones have memory, which is a huge thing. It used to be all in our brains. Which leads me then to a question for Scott, or really for all of you, is do you know if there's going to be any artificial intelligence-related stuff going on at Maker Faire this weekend?
We do have some AI-related items. There are one of the things that's kind of interesting is that there are some projects, I think, that are mostly not related to AI, but incorporate a couple of different minor elements. For example, I think Wordplay might have some of that. Some of the things that people are interacting with as far as the AI goes, the projects still take human input the same way ChatGPT and things like that do require a prompt or, you know, some sort of human input. But it's pretty interesting that, you know, that's the big topic now, and I think it's almost interesting that a lot of makers, it seemed like, don't want to delve into it too much as far as the projects they're presenting go, just because I think a lot of people are apprehensive about it now, at least in the maker community, you know, with having AI replace people or, you know, take over certain areas, creative areas like artistry, obviously. You know, if you can just generate an image in a minute, then what do you need to pay an artist for? You know, so it's kind of an interesting thing. In the maker community, obviously artists are makers, musicians are makers. None of them want to be replaced by AI technology. So it's kind of, I think it's one of the things that a lot of the maker space right now is questioning and deciding if it's something they want to embrace or something that they want to start looking at ways to limit.
I'd like to look into ways of breaking it. That's just my hacker mentality at work there. But, you know, like any tool, and as Becky was saying, you know, if people don't know how to fix things anymore, well, you know, the first step in fixing something is breaking it. So you take it apart, you know, you make it so that it's fairly useless, and then you put it back together again, or not, as maybe we'll decide to do with AI. But I think that's something that that we would benefit from. Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you think about, you know, how far all of this is all this is going with respect to the artificial intelligence and things. And it can go. We can look at this in one way and say, you know, maybe we're just being, you know, completely afraid of all of this. Being replaced by machines and whatnot, and, you know, we can bring this back historically to things like the Luddites, and maybe we're being, you know, modern Luddites here and railing against technology. But I think that Scott had really struck a chord with me when he mentioned this thing, but, you know, not wanting to be replaced with musicians and even, you know, creatives and things. That, and I completely understand that. And I think that we need to start thinking about artificial intelligence for what it is. And, you know, we forget that it's two words, right? They're not together. You know, it's artificial. It's fake. What does artificial mean? We don't like artificial sweeteners. So why do we like artificial intelligence, for God's sakes? I mean, artificial means, you know, generated by a machine. It's cheap. It's done easily. It's almost ersatz in a sense. It's not imbued with the creative spirit. It's something like a song generated by a human is. And it just feels to me, too, like when you are browsing through Netflix or whatever stupid streaming service we're using lately, right? All the shows just seem so trite, like they're generated by some lowest common denominator AI-based algorithm that just generates sitcoms or reality shows that it thinks people are going to like. And it all just seems so cheap that I hope that maybe the flip side of this, the corollary, will be that artificial intelligence becomes to be seen for what it is, artificial, fake, and that human intelligence and human created things, things that you can see at a festival like Maker Faire, have a higher premium and a higher value associated with them.
Yeah, let's hope so. We're speaking with Elijah Horland, Scott Schubert, and Becky Button from the upcoming Coney Island Maker Faire this weekend. Our phone number is 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK if you want to join the conversation, ask a question or two. Our phone lines are wide open.
Correct.
And even for Rebel?
Yeah, I should probably warn.
His private line is actually it's available. Yeah.
I should warn our guests that sometimes our callers stray off topic. Oh, and also this note for people who are listening to the show on YouTube. Yes, our chat is turned off. We know that. It's intentional because we are down a couple of people this week, and there's nobody to monitor the chat, so it would be mayhem and chaos of a negative sort. So we decided not to have that this week. But when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll be sure to do that. I'm really looking forward to this. I hope we can get the van to make it into Coney Island. Can you give us a sense as to other makers that might be showing up that we haven't mentioned already, or dare I say celebrities, or just people that might be enticing to those considering going?
Sure. So one of the things that I think is very cool, and my niece, who's 8, will think is very cool, is a food maker called Fluffy NYC. And basically what they do is they make cotton candy creations that look just like cartoon characters, sea creatures, other animals, and all sorts of things. And they, to me, I when I saw that, I said, okay, we got to invite these people because it's Coney Island and it's Maker Faire and kids will love it and I'll love it, you know, and it just looks really cool. So that's one of those things that I think, like, especially for my niece, she'll get a kick out of it, but I'm excited to see as well. We have a lot of the maker spaces in New York coming, which is cool. Fat Cat Fab Lab, NYC Resistor, a bunch of the maker spaces at NYU, so that'll be great. They're going to come and some of the students are going to show off their creations and their robots and games that they've made, wearable technology games and all sorts of cool projects. I did mention Girls Who Hack with their lockpicking. I think they'll be great. But one of the organizations that I love to highlight, I think I saw them also at Long Island Maker Faire, and I think they have chapters kind of all over the place because they're such a good organization, is Makers Making Change. They're going to present their work and their creations. They're a great organization of volunteers. They take requests from people that live near them who need special devices, 3D printed, to do things that most of us can do easily, people with multiple sclerosis or cerebral palsy who may not be able to hold a pencil or play a video game without a special device. And they actually organize volunteers who say, you know, I have a 3D printer. I don't use it all the time. I'd love to help, and I'll print some of this stuff. And they're going to demo some of their devices and tell people how they can get involved. So I think that's a great organization, and it's cool that people with 3D printers, you know, I had one for a long time that a friend of mine gave me. And after a while, I didn't know what to do with it. You know, like I printed door hooks for over the door to hang your clothes and some things like that. And after a while, it was sort of just sitting here until I got an inspiration. So I think it's a cool way for people to use some of that technology and to really make a better difference in the world. And it's makers, you know, literally making change, but all of us can kind of say, oh, I've got a 3D printer, or my school has one, or whatever, and a way for people to be makers, to help people. So I think they're a great organization that's going to be there.
And since this is a different audience right now, can we give out the contact info for people who might want to be able to help even at this late stage?
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to come be an attendee, you're welcome to come. Please join us, or we're always looking for volunteers, always looking for helpers if you just want to come and have fun. But the website is ConeyIslandMakerFaire.com, and fair is spelled with an E. So it's F-A-I-R-E, ConeyIslandMakerFaire.com. And there's sign-up info, all sorts of things on the website. So if you want to check it out, you can go there. We also have a special going on for Friday. Originally, it was just going to be for teachers and students. And now we want to open it up to everyone. We feel like the weather is going to be nice. Why not? So you can come on down any day, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. come join us. It's this weekend, Friday, October 6th through October 8th, Sunday, and it's 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Let me just give out the phone number one more time. Kyle, we don't have a call, do we?
Okay. We do not.
But sometimes getting the first call is hard because people are shy and they don't want to be the first, but I understand that, but we have a limited amount of time here, so if you have any questions for our guests about Maker Faire or anything else that you want to bring up, go right ahead. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our telephone number. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys about, while we prefer people don't drive, obviously, there are people who basically will have to drive one way or another. What do you think the best way to get to Coney Island is? Is there a place people can park and then maybe hop onto some kind of train or shuttle or something like that?
So we're very lucky. We're partnering with the ballpark, the Brooklyn Cyclones baseball stadium for Sunday for the robot and drone competitions. But because we are partnered with them and because they will be available basically the whole weekend, they have a huge parking lot that people can use. In addition to that, there's also the amphitheater where we have the event. It has another parking lot behind that. So there are lots available. There's also street parking, obviously. We wanted to make sure there was that capability for people if they want to use it. But, yeah, no, it, especially when you're one of the things that I didn't mention but I should is that we're right by Coney Island Brewery, you know, which is a great, great brewery over by Coney. And if you're coming and you can take the train or bus or public transportation, you can hang out at the brewery. So that's always a plus, obviously. But public transportation is the way to go if you can. If you are driving, there will be those parking lots available. And I think we already have the information for the parking lots on the site. But if we don't, we'll put it up. We're emailing all of the people that bought tickets and everyone that is a maker or a vendor, so they have a place, obviously, to park their vehicle if they need to. But we'll cover all that stuff online. If we haven't already, it'll be on our website tomorrow.
Okay. Again, our phone number 802-321-4225. If people have any questions or comments, feel free to give us a call. Alex, I understand there's a bear outside your house?
Yeah, there is, yeah, apparently.
Okay. And you ran off to what, greet it or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they deserve to be greeted and cuddled. And
have you secured all of your pets and belongings?
Yeah,
okay.
That's what I want to do.
You're bear safe?
Yeah, there is a way for my beagle to get out upstairs to the balcony and then go downstairs. And we had an incident a couple of months ago where it's 3 o'clock in the morning and she desperately wanted to go outside. This is the beagle, of course. And so I sort of very sleepily opened the door, and she bolts out the door because there was a wild animal out here. This time it happened to be a skunk, and she got sprayed directly in the face by the skunk after confronting her, confronting this other skunk that was denning or something. And it was a very, very difficult morning. I'll just put it that way. I made a mistake. Yeah, she was foaming at the mouth because she got hit in the face. So, you know, she started salivating at the mouth. And I made the mistake of dragging her in the house. Even though she was in the house for maybe 15, 20 seconds, trying to get that stench of skunk out of it was difficult. So, beagles are crazy. You got to watch them.
I'm not sure if, it's just beagles. I think dogs in general get in trouble like this. And one skunk can stink up an entire county, so
it's the urban wildland interface. It's really it's a big deal.
Anyway, we have a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Greetings from London, England.
Hey, it's Zap, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, you're correct.
How you doing?
Hey, not bad. I just wanted to let everyone know that the phone line is working, so please phone in.
So a phone call to ask for phone calls is what we have here.
Yeah, basically, because nobody's ringing.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I'd help.
Are there maker fairs in the UK?
Not that I'm aware of. We haven't had anything like that for a while. We could deal with some.
Uh-huh. Alex, did you have something?
You know, Zeph, I beg to differ, because I remember walking near the South Bank Center in 2015.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, Alex. We're talking about now.
Well, I think
was that to do with Arduino Day?
Yeah, it was. Yes, yeah. But in any event,
it wasn't a Maker Faire.
I was kind of ducking in and out of places with my family and my son, and we came across a little Maker Faire. I mean, it was tiny. It was like, you know, maybe half a block, but it was a Maker Faire, and I was very excited to all of a sudden run into Maker Faire in London. So there's something there. I don't think it's as large a presence
as it. Did you meet R2-D2 there as well?
No, R2-D2 was not there.
By the way, did you ever tell your son that that wasn't the original R2-D2? Or does he still to this day, he must be about 11 now, does he still believe it?
Yeah, he's around that. But he, I would never shatter that deliberately, right? I think you just need to let him come to his own realization that that probably wasn't the actual R2-D2, if that thought ever comes into
the actual fictitious character.
Yes.
I mean,
fictitious.
Why wouldn't he be the actual R2-D2?
But to a 5 or 6 year old, you know, they're not fictitious, right? That's that's life. That's part of your being.
Mm-hmm.
Zaps, good to hear your voice again, and hope to see you in a couple of months too.
Okay, and just for the record, you could always build an R2-D2 with your son, Alex. It's a good project.
That is a good project, actually. That would be a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm sort of spatially challenged, though, when it comes to, you know, building actual things. So it might be difficult.
Maybe a small one.
Yeah, maybe a small one. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great idea, Zap.
All right. Zap, reminder, there are 2,600 meetings this Friday. You probably know that.
Yes, I should be going. Trying to get some new people to go, and they're meant to be turning up on Friday. I'll be there.
Any updates on other UK meetings as you know about all of them?
I'm hearing about the Manchester meeting is going ahead in November. They're trying to find a venue because the venue they had in mind, I think, got pulled out for whatever reason.
I see. Venues are a challenge.
I'll keep you up to date. I'll keep you up to date when I find out the news.
Okay, sounds great. Always good to hear your voice, Zap.
Okay. All right. See you later, everyone. Have fun.
Best to you.
Take care. And yes, do a Zap request and give us a call, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. That's our phone number. On for only another few minutes. Anything else that you guys want to share as far as what we can look forward to this weekend?
I just want to make a request, actually. If you guys do end up bringing the van, hopefully you do, if you can bring any of your old telephone technology, that would be great. We will give you tables if you need it. The thing is, I want to show my niece what, like, a rotary phone looks like or any of that stuff. I doubt you would be able to bring the entire phone booth that you guys have.
The phone booth is very heavy, but we can definitely bring some old phone equipment and some other things, and probably some audio as well.
It would be great.
We'll assemble a small package of some of the things we've brought before, and that way we're a little bit agile, because it does take a little bit of coordination to bring the entirety of the phone booth with its own roof. This thing is great. I mean, it evolved after years of being at Maker Faire and saying, like, wow, maybe we could show this. We would put phones as a display, and then we started connecting them up, and we made an intercom with our phone booth, and we also would broadcast over loudspeakers an excellent series by Evan Dorbell called Phone Trips. And it was just a beautiful, like, experience, because everybody else was broadcasting their sounds and having their competitions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And just the mix of so many different things in the air was always so fun. And you could
hear us all throughout the Maker Faire.
You'd be able to, like, locate the van by the sounds of telephone.
You hear dial signals. Tones, busy signals, everything. It was pretty amazing. Some people asked us to turn it down, and we did. But it was definitely a draw as well.
We'll definitely get the van shined up, though, and see if we can make it out there.
Yeah, the real issue is if it starts, if it continues to run. If it does those two things, then we're there. We'll figure it out. We have to drive on commercial roads, though, because it's a commercial vehicle.
It's in good shape, though, and And we've been upgrading, making sure it's well maintained, so it should be okay.
Okay.
We do have a phone call.
Here's another phone call. Let's take that. And good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi. We'd like to hear about the Muppets, please,
at the Maker Fair this weekend.
You want to hear about the Muppets at the Maker Fair this weekend?
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have info on this?
Yeah, there's going to be a panel, I think, that we heard that there was going to be Muppets or puppets, Jim Henson Muppets involved, and so if Scott could maybe touch on that.
Okay, Scott, do you have info on that?
I do. So we are very lucky. We have a couple of great speakers and makers lined up. One of the talks, you know, we have different talks by people. One of the panel discussions that we're going to have is actually a group of makers. They're basically New York City puppet makers, veteran puppet makers from a lot of your favorite TV shows and films and Broadway productions, you know, famous streets and famous mouse-related companies and things like that. So we have a bunch of panelists, Robin Coffey, Jessica Marie Lawrence, Annie Ozar, and it's all going to be moderated by Matthew Lish, but it's going to be a great talk. That is on Saturday at noon, and it's going to be a lot of fun. That's one of those where I'm hoping I'm not going to be working during that talk because I'm just going to go sit. You know, I'm sure you guys feel the same way with the Hope Conference, but sometimes you just want to sit and take it all in. It's going to be really cool.
We always want to. We never get to, but we always want to.
Everybody wants to catch up. It's crazy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Any other questions, caller?
No, we're good. Thank you so much. I mean, are there going to be any other panels that are noteworthy?
Any other panels that are noteworthy?
No, we do have some of our makers that are doing talks and presentations. We're not doing any other panels necessarily, but what we are going to have is one of them is a keynote on Saturday at 2 o'clock by Garrett Oliver, who's a famous Brooklyn maker. He is the brewmaster from Brooklyn Brewery and literally wrote the book on beer. He's a very prominent, world-renowned Brooklyn maker, and he's going to talk about the Brooklyn maker community and New York maker community and what his challenges were and all of the good work that he's doing trying to get equality in STEM and STEAM fields for kids and for people that are looking for work in those areas.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you. Looking forward to Maker Faire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you there. Sounded like a young person there as well, which is great. So many young people turn out for this, and I think that's the measure of success. When I went to my first Maker Faire and just saw so many young people, I realized this is the future right here. And boy, it certainly proved itself. And I hope that this succeeds. I hope that Maker Faires all over the country, all over the world succeed. You think it's part of a trend, the resurgence?
Definitely, there is some kind of resurgence going on because so many people, you know, people learned all these new skills during the pandemic, and now that the world's opening back up, people are looking for outlets to show that off. So totally, I see, you know, Maker Faires popping up would be a cool trend.
All right, we have another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out if any the speakers that you mentioned earlier, is it on the website? Is there a place we could see who's going to, who's going to be speaking or anything like that, activities? Is there a place where we can
a list of speakers that will be at Maker Faire? Is that what you're asking?
At the Maker Faire. Yeah, because he just mentioned somewhere. He was just talking about somebody earlier. Is there anywhere where it's listed on the Maker Faire website?
Scott, do you have the answer to that?
Yes. If you go to ConeyIslandMakerFaire.com, fair has an E, you can not only get tickets and get information, but yes, there are participating makers there. I think the way that it's set up is it doesn't want to focus, you know, certain people more than others, so it randomizes the makers that you see when you first go to the page. But all of the makers are listed there. I think we've got over 75 makers currently. Makers, vendors, people that, you know, made stuff and want to show it off, people that are playing music, all sorts of different things. But they should all be on there. And if you want, we're going to put together an actual full list that we're going to distribute to everyone when you come, and also email. But right now on the site, it should have at least that randomized version of it.
And you could probably just hit reload to get more.
Is it too late for someone to be a vendor at MakerFair? Is it too late to register or whatever?
You, we would normally say yes, it's too late, but you never know. So you know what? Your best shot is to go to the website, fill out the Call for Makers form, which also includes vendors. And basically, based on the information and your requirements, you know, electrical or any other stuff, that whatever you put into the form, we will get in touch with you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Those are my questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. 802-321-4225. If anyone else out there wants to ask a question of our Maker Faire people tonight, love to have your call come in. This really seems to be picking up steam. There's a definite feeling of anticipation, and I just hope this becomes a tradition, because having that neighborhood, the unique neighborhood of Coney Island, if they're a part of this and becomes known as Maker Faire Weekend, it'll be, you know, similar to the festivities that take place around things like Mermaid Parade, where it's just, you know, a focal point. Again, the first one is the challenge, getting that one out of the way and having it work out, having it be successful. I think that is the challenge. We can all play a part in that.
Yeah, and I think we're very lucky that we have such a big community of people that do love Maker Faire and do miss it, people that are excited for it to come back, and people that hear about it and they want all the details and they want to spread the word and they want to know how they can participate. I think we are lucky that we have that there was that magic in New York, and people are looking for it to come back. So we feel lucky that we're able to give them the opportunity, just like us, you know, to experience that and to bring their kids and to bring people and show them how cool it is.
Absolutely.
I'm certain if this persists, we'll be inspired and advanced enough after time that we'll be exposed to enough Maker Faires that the payphone booth will load itself, will somehow build it some robotic legs, and we're really looking forward to it. I can't wait to see what people are.
Coney Island has payphones still, though. It's that cool a neighborhood.
It could be a scavenger. Yeah.
It's a very retro place. Absolutely is. Becky, I wanted to ask you about your music, because you're a musician, and we didn't really get to talk about this.
Yeah, I mean, so we're doing our first workshop for how to build these guitar pedals at Coney Island Maker Faire this weekend. And it's going to be a really fun time. We're going to be getting into, I mean, it's first come, first serve, but we're going to be getting into, you know, soldering these little kits together. My friend Jason Garwood has designed this beautiful enclosure. It's going to have purple on it. So we're calling it the Purple Pedal Project for now. So everything's purple. And I don't know, it's just going to be a lot of fun. We're all these, it has a microcontroller in it that's already been pre-programmed with either a chorus or a tremolo effect. It depends on which one you get. And we're going to leave people with a fully reprogrammable, customizable effects pedal at the end of the workshop. So it'll be a load of fun.
Wow. That sounds like a lot. That's
programmable.
Really,
wow. Uh-huh. I've never heard of that. I guess the state of the art, that's where it is. That's amazing. I'm really, really intrigued by this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all digital. So it's definitely not going to have some of the audio properties of the warm analog circuitry. But if you're just getting started and you don't want to pay an arm and a leg for all these different effects pedals, you're still trying to figure out what's going on.
And what you
this
like.
Is a good spot. Yeah, exactly.
Really? Brilliant, brilliant. I love it. That's really cool.
Wow.
Are we
at a
phone line is open.
Phone line is still open. Yeah. Okay, 802-321-4225. I'm just going to keep it open for a couple more minutes. It's been a long night, and I know our guests have to run, and so do we. So it's your last chance to give a call and ask a question of this upcoming Maker Faire in Coney Island. And wow. I assume we've all been to, I mean, you guys have been to Coney Island. I assume we've all been. You've been there, right?
And grew up hearing stories about my parents and grandparents seeking out as a destination. So visiting it was really surreal. I've also been to Brighton Beach with you.
That's right, yeah. Right down the road. So it's one of these places that you just have to, if you go to New York, you have to be, you know, there as well.
We also, gosh, we were there for the Mermaid Festival's Mermaid Parade one time as well. So it's always a fun time. There's always something going on there, and it's an incredible place to explore. And then seeing it in the TV show, that was just wild.
That's right, yes.
So I really hope people are drawn to this and really fired up about all that's going on and what people have to share.
Mm-hmm. Alex, did you ask me? Go ahead.
I just wanted to when speaking about transportation and things and how to get to Coney Island, but one thing that should be mentioned, too, is that Coney Island is a really fantastic place to which you can ride your bike. If you live in Manhattan, you can ride your bike pretty easily to Coney Island, and it's such a gorgeous ride along the southern bits of Brooklyn. And you get to Coney Island, then you can go to Brighton Beach, and it's just it's a wonderful day trip if anybody's thinking about it. I think the weather should be perfect for that sort of thing this weekend. And then arcades and things. Speaking of Coney Island arcades, I think it's the case that our very own Rob T. Firefly used to work at an arcade, didn't he? Do you remember this?
I don't know if it was at Coney Island. I think it was on Long Island, but it's quite possible.
He's familiar with the industry, yeah.
Yeah, I think he used to work in an arcade a long time ago. We can talk about him since he's not here. And I think some of our other mutual friends used to have things to do directly with arcades in Coney Island.
Well, that's very intriguing, yes. A lot of people work in arcades and in that industry, for sure. And there's a lot of history there. You'll see old things that still exist to this day. We're talking about the parachute jump earlier and its history. So, if you're looking beyond Maker Faire to just learn a lot about culture and history of New York City, you couldn't do better than to hang out in Coney Island for a couple of days and things like that. Let me just ask, as we were preparing to get out of here, for people that might be from out of town considering going to this thing, are there places to stay nearby, or is there anything that you guys recommend?
There are not necessarily hotels in Coney Island, at least not yet. You know, that's one of the things that have been debated and discussed in the last couple of years between casinos and hotels. But there are plenty of hotels around Brooklyn, and some of the neighborhoods are definitely worth checking out, worth staying. And I think if you just kind of look around Brooklyn and see if there's a neighborhood, especially if you're not from here, maybe pick a neighborhood you've heard of or a neighborhood that maybe even that you haven't heard of and, check it out. There are definitely some hotels spread out. For Coney Island, I would stay in Brooklyn if you have a choice, but anywhere in New York is probably fine, especially with public transportation or a bike or a car. You can take Uber or cab or anything, too. So there's a lot of ways to get there, depending where you stay. But, it's not necessarily in Coney Island, but that's probably part of the fun, is that you could check out a different neighborhood that you weren't in, and that's where you can stay, and then head over to Coney to check out the rides and Maker Faire and, eat at Nathan's.
Yeah, it's interesting because this is the same conversation we had regarding Hope when we moved to Queens. People who don't stay on campus, well, you can stay somewhere nearby in a different neighborhood and explore. And it's all part of the adventure. And Brooklyn, Queens, two amazing boroughs in New York City that deserve a lot more attention. And I think this is one way of achieving that. So really, really looking forward to this becoming a tradition. We're going to close things up. I want to give each of you, Elijah, Scott, Becky, a chance to say some concluding remarks. Anything that you'd like to express to people?
Half off tickets on Friday. So,
yes.
I just want to say it's a lot of fun. It's fun for kids and adults. It's great for parents to see their kids' eyes light up and be excited for science, and engineering and math. And maybe that's not what they're thinking when they see it, but that's basically the spark that ignites a lot of these future makers and future kids with projects. And I think it's one of the great experiences because a lot of it is hands-on. There are a lot of activities for kids and adults. Learn to solder does not just for kids. You can also learn as an adult. Anyone can learn. So it's just a cool place and a cool environment and a place where you can really learn from each other and see a lot of cool stuff all sorts of different stuff. So definitely come check it out, ConanAllenMakerFair.com, and Fair has an E in it.
Yeah, I mean, great points from Elijah and Scott. I guess all I really have to say on top of that is Maker Faire is a great time. You won't regret showing up there. There's going to be something to do. If you're interested in learning more about the Purple Pedal Project, this guitar pedal that I'm debuting at Coney Island Maker Faire, feel free to find me on Twitter at Einstein Unicorn, EinsteinUnicorn. And, yeah, go to Coney Island Maker Faire. There's literally half off tickets on Friday. There's no excuse not to go.
Yes, you make a very good point there. Very good point. Elijah Horlin, Scott Schubert, Becky Button, thank you so much for joining us this Wednesday and telling us all about what's truly an amazing event that's upcoming. It's going to be history in the making, and we hope we see you there.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. We hope to see you.
Thanks.
All right, and for our listeners, we will not be on next week. We'll be on in 2 weeks. You can write to us, OTH@2600.com. Good night.